No matter who you are, no matter where you have been, and no matter where you are right now, you are so welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill. Today is the first day of January. Welcome, everyone. Come on in. We have been waiting for you. I have been waiting for you. Just been standing here waiting for everyone to get here. And I am so glad that you are here for whatever reason, whatever brought you here today. No matter what your story is, no matter what horrible thing you think you've done that has discounted you or excluded you from spaces and life and places where you have longed to be, this is a safe place, and no matter what those reasons are, you are welcome here. There is so much to tell you about this journey through the Bible, but for today, I want you to come. I want you to get cozy. I want you to take off your shoes, take off your coat if you haven't, if you want to. There's some beverages over in the corner, some hot coffee, some cold water, maybe even a Coke in a glass bottle. Pick whatever it is that you want and settle in. The Word of God will be read, and I pray that you will be transformed by the words that you hear that get past your mind and penetrate your heart. There is a lot to this, but for today, all you have to do is be here. As we go, I'll give you little different tips about your journey through the Bible in this space that hopefully will help you, hopefully will add and enhance to this journey. For today, I just want you to come and to be whoever you are, and know that you are welcome here. We begin the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, and because we are in chronological order, we're going to read the Bible out of order. If you're following along in your Bible, like your physical Bible by hand, we will read the Bible chronologically in order, which means as best as historians and theologians can tell of the sequence of events in order in which they happened, this is how we will read them. The book of Genesis, meaning beginning, is one of five that make up the Torah: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We'll talk more about that later. This is the first of the first, and we are reading the very first, Genesis 1 through 3 today. And I know for those of you that are regulars here, like you took your shoes off before you walked in because you know the drill, we left off yesterday in the Christian Standard Bible. But because it's a brand new year and we've turned the page, we are reading the next few days in the New Living Translation. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a space between the waters to separate the waters of the heavens from the waters of the earth." And that is what happened. God made this space to separate the waters of the earth from the waters of the heavens. God called the space sky. And evening passed and morning came, marking the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters beneath the sky flow together into one place so dry ground may appear." And that is what happened. God called the dry ground land and the waters seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land sprout with vegetation, every sort of seed-bearing plant and trees that grow seed-bearing fruit. These seeds will then produce the kinds of plants and trees from which they came." And that is what happened. The land produced vegetation, all sorts of seed-bearing plants and trees with seed-bearing fruit. Their seeds produced plants and trees of the same kind, and God saw that it was good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the third day. Then God said, "Let lights appear in the sky to separate the day from the night. Let them be signs to mark the seasons, days, and years. Let these lights in the sky shine down on the earth." And that is what happened. God made two great lights, the larger one to govern the day and the smaller one to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set these lights in the sky to light the earth, to govern the day and night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And evening passed and morning came, marking the fourth day. Then God said, "Let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind." So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that scurries and swarms in the water, and every sort of bird, each producing offspring of the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply. Let the fish fill the seas and let the birds multiply on the earth." And evening passed and morning came, marking the fifth day. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. God made all sorts of wild animals, livestock, and small animals, each able to produce offspring the same kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry along the ground." Then God said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. And I have given every green plant as food for all the wild animals, the birds in the sky and the small animals that scurry along the ground, everything that has life." And this is what happened. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw that it was very good. And evening passed, and morning came, marking the sixth day. So the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. On the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all his work. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. This is the account of the creation of the heavens and the earth. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, neither wild plants nor grains were growing on the earth. For the Lord God had not yet sent rain to water the earth, and there were no people to cultivate the soil. Instead, springs came up from the ground and watered all the land. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he placed the man he had made. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed from that land of Eden, watering the garden and then dividing into four branches. The first branch, called the Pishon, flowed around the entire land of Havilah, where gold is found. The gold of that land is exceptionally pure. Aromatic resin and onyx stone are also found there. The second branch, called the Gihon, flowed around the entire land of Cush. The third branch, called the Tigris, flowed east of the land of Assur. The fourth branch is called the Euphrates. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them, and the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, and all the wild animals. But still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs and closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame. The serpent was the shrewdest of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. One day he asked the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden?" "Of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden," the woman replied. "It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. God said, you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die." "You won't die," the serpent replied to the woman. "God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." The woman was convinced. She saw that the tree was beautiful and its fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. So she took some of the fruit and ate it. Then she gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it too. At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." "Who told you that you were naked?" the Lord God asked. "Have you eaten from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman you gave me who gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord God asked the woman, "What have you done?" "The serpent deceived me," she replied. "That's why I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all animals, domestic and wild. You will crawl on your belly, groveling in the dust as long as you live. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head, and you will strike his heel. Then he said to the woman, I will sharpen the pain of your pregnancy, and in pain you will give birth. And you will desire to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And to the man he said, since you listened to your wife and ate from the tree whose fruit I commanded you not to eat, the ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. By the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and to dust you will return. Then the man, Adam, named his wife Eve, because she would be the mother of all who live. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out, take fruit from the tree of life and eat it? Then they will live forever. So the Lord God banished them from the Garden of Eden, and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. After sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. We have got us a creation story. A lot has happened in the first three chapters of the Bible. Now, every time I read it, there are new things that jump out to me or new things that I'd never understood before. And I'm in a bit of information overload here in this moment, if I'm just being honest. So let's just dive in real quick. Okay, first things first. In the beginning, God. I have learned recently that when Jewish rabbis teach the young boys, or maybe it's children, I'm actually not exactly sure. When they teach them the Torah, which is the first five books of the Bible, and this is the first one, Genesis, what they teach them when they're reading the first words of the Bible is, in the beginning, God. And they pause them. And that is the focus. In the beginning, God. Let's just hold on to that for a second. Since the very beginning of time, God has been. In the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Some translations say void. Darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the waters. Notice in the story of creation, or creation poem, some theologians believe this is poetry. God speaks things into existence. God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Let's hold on to this word, light. The light was good. He saw it and he said that the light was good. There's so much to say about that, but we're going to let scripture speak for itself. We're going to watch the evolution throughout the Bible of this word called light and how it reveals itself, how light becomes an essential part of the Bible and an essential part of our identity. Okay, the story or the poem goes on, and upon the completion of creation, God rests. Let's catch this. This is the seventh day of creation. This rest is a part of creation. Rest is actually active, even though you're not doing anything. If you are a fitness guru, you know that resting after intense working out is essential to the process of change. It's essential to the process of restoration and healing for those of us who love to cook. We cook meat, you have to allow it to rest before you start chopping into it. You start chopping into it while it's piping hot, not only are you gonna get burned, but you're gonna lose all of the juices that don't have time to settle into the meat that makes it what it is when it's allowed to rest. So let's catch this. It's a part of creation. It's a part of the process. It's not an afterthought. Rest must be a really big deal to God. Perhaps it should be a really big deal to us. And perhaps it could be a part of our daily or weekly or monthly rhythm. Okay, moving right along, we get to the creation of man. Notice the wording, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. Okay, God is using us language, even though no one else seems to be there except for God, the Spirit of God that we learned at the very beginning of the reading. And there is definitely language of us. Hold on to that little piece. We'll talk about that in a different time. God creates human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, according to this language, this covers all of the species of humanity, male and female, he creates in his own image. Okay, moving along, we come to the garden. God creates a beautiful garden, and in the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God places man in the garden to watch over it and to tend to it. And God instructs him and warns him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die. So God instructs Adam, man, what not to do. You can eat from any of these trees, just not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he says, it's not good for him to be alone. I will make a helper who's just right for him. So God forms from the ground the wild animals, the birds of the sky, and he brings them to man and tells him to choose a name for each one. He allows man to name the animals, but there was no helper just right for him. So God gives man one of his greatest gifts, a nap. He falls into a deep sleep, and while he sleeps, God takes from his body, maybe he went through his belly button, maybe that's why that thing is there, takes from his body a rib, closes it up, and makes woman. And he brings her to the man. He presents her to man. And man says, at last, this is the suitable helpmate for me. And he names her woman. Let's note, they are naked. but they are not ashamed of their nakedness. They felt no shame. Please meet the serpent, the shrewdest, most cunning of all the wild animals the Lord God had made. Now, we have no record or knowledge of, did man transfer this information to woman, this command, this warning that God gave man, or did she just know, being formed from man? That is unclear. But it might be worth noting that the person that God gave the command to, which was man or Adam, the serpent did not approach. He approached the woman and inserts a question that produces a host of emotions and a snowball of actions and consequences. The serpent asks, did God really say you must not eat the fruit from any of the trees in the garden? And she replies, of course we may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, the woman replied. But here, she misquotes the warning that God gave man. It's only the fruit from the tree in the middle of the garden that we are not allowed to eat. Here's the misquote. God said you must not eat it or even touch it. If you do, you will die. The misquote comes in the instruction that you must not even touch it. God never spoke. He never spoke of not touching it. Never instructed to not touch it. He said, do not eat it. So the serpent responds to her, you won't die. God knows that your eyes will be opened as soon as you eat it, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil. Okay, here's the thing. They were made in the image of God. They already were like God. They were already made in the image of God. They were already in perfect intimacy with God. They were naked and unashamed. And I realize it was just, according to this story or poem, a short amount of time before they messed it up. However, they were already made in the image of God, naked, no shame, no sin, and enjoying all of the benefits of the handiwork of God. And they exchange it. They exchange it by deception. They exchange and walk away from perfect union with God in an alluring and enticing, deceptive bargain for something more, in which, after the serpent deceives the woman, she was convinced. The whole Bible, the entire Bible will follow this theme if we stay open and hear the words. The serpent plants a seed of deception. It's just a mere suggestion. It's just a mere enticing little piece of information that makes us seem like if we have it, we will be so powerful. Everyone will want what we have. We will appear to be something we are not, when we already had the identity and we already were exactly what God intended us to be, made in His image and in communion with Him. Woman saw that the tree was beautiful and the fruit looked delicious, and she wanted the wisdom it would give her. But wisdom was already hers. Then we learned that her husband was with her, and he ate it too. Now, I don't want to assume things of the story or this poem that are not true, but if he's there when he ate it, was he there when the serpent deceived her, misguided her, and tempted her with something she already had? He never stops her, he never corrects her, and he eats the fruit too. And when they do, their eyes were opened and they suddenly felt the shame at their nakedness. Now, we could exchange nakedness for disobedience. And this is a really important piece of this story or poem, because this is a really important piece in our own lives. What do we do when we feel shame? Do we pull away? Do we go and hide? Do we deem ourselves unworthy? Do we puff up and become more proud and more arrogant? Do we transfer the blame onto someone else? Because this is what we watch man and woman do. They're going to shift blame. No one's going to take it and own it, but they're going to pass it off to the next person. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent, and God judges both man and woman, and there are consequences to their actions. There are consequences to their disobedience. Man will have to tend to the soil of the earth, and woman will feel pain in childbirth. There's also a judgment and a consequence for the serpent, and then God banishes them from the Garden of Eden and places a flaming sword that flashes back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. All of this in what we call a week's worth of activity. Quite a story. Quite a poem. These themes will follow throughout the entire Bible. And as we read this story, this cute little creation story poetry, I remember in Sunday school having this little flannel envelope, and there's this little person with the flannel stuff on the back of it that sticks to the flannel that represents man and woman and the little animals, and you get to place them wherever you want to. Such a sweet little story. This is such a complex story and theme. And if you're new, this could be a little overwhelming to you. I want to just ask you to stay here, stay with it. There is so much to see in the Bible. There's so much to let go of in the Bible, and there's so much to hold on to in the Bible. But this theme of God speaking, us misquoting, deception coming in and making us feel like there's something missing by what God has already given us and what he has already offered us to have freely. This message will play out in the stories of the Bible that we will read from day one until day 365 or 364 days from now. Stay here. Stay connected. We're just getting started. Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this theme, this new beginning of turning the page in a brand new chance, a brand new start, a brand new opportunity to begin again. Some of us just so desperately need that symbolism and that promise to hold on to. I thank you, God, for every person that is here today in this moment. I thank you for every story that makes us up as people. We are all story. We don't have a story. We are story. We've all come here because of different reasons, some by invitation, some by desperation. Thank you, God, that your presence is safety. And despite who has excluded us from churches, excluded us from places of worship, excluded us from your presence, your grace, your mercy, this place is safe. This place is sacred, and you welcome us all here. As we just get started today, I pray that every person feels the safety of your presence, that it doesn't matter what they've done, it doesn't matter what name they bear, whose they've been told they are, and whose they've been told they are not. We are all here because we are all made in the image, Imago Dei, the image of God, all of us, no exclusions. So I thank you for the safety of your presence and the welcome of your presence, not because any of us are worthy to be here, but you welcome and you quench the thirst of those that come hungry and thirsty for you. I love you, God. I worship you, God. And I thank you for who you are. And I thank you for every person that has made their way here to know you directly through your word. I pray this all in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. You, who were at the very beginning, who is today and will be tomorrow. Amen.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form.
Silence, so alive. If the sun
I'm who you created. Light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. Unless you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. When you lost your life, so I.